So that's what happened on that very first Pentecost day. Well, let me give you a little bit of context to the rest of the story behind what had happened. Pentecost is the feast, was a celebration feast for the Jews. The feast was called the Feast of Weeks, otherwise called Pentecost, and there's a few names that they had for it. And it occurred about 50 days after Passover. Remember the Passover meal? That's what was the Last Supper. That's what we commemorated here with communion. And so this is 50 days after Passover, and they celebrated the end of the grain harvest. And the primary focus of the festival was gratitude to God for the harvest. So believers all came together, or Jews all came together, for the celebration of the end of the harvest. Of the seven feast days celebrated by the Jews, only three are considered solemn feasts. The Passover feast, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, as we're celebrating, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These require that all able-bodied Jewish males would travel to Jerusalem to attend the feast and offer sacrifices. And this explains why there were so many people. So when we look at the end of Acts chapter 2, there were so many people that had come in. There were thousands of people from all kinds of places, distant places, Libya. Think about that, North Africa, those Jewish people coming down and coming together for worship as they celebrated the Feast of Weeks, or they celebrated Pentecost. And so that's why there were so many people present when Peter began to speak. So Pentecost points us to the great harvest of the souls and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, both for the Jew and for the Gentile, who would be brought into the kingdom of God. This is where the church really came to life. And it came to life through the power of the Holy Spirit. The church was established when God poured his Spirit out for all to receive. Pentecost reminds us of the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus said to send another helper. Barry read that passage a little bit earlier out of John, that there would be a helper, that there would be a comforter that was to come. And that comforter would come and would indwell and empower people for ministry. The Holy Spirit was a guarantee of that promise of salvation and the future resurrection that would come to pass. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 reads like this, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance into the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." When we look at that passage, we see that there is an indwelling that happens. There is a security that happens. So Pentecost reminds us of the coming of that future salvation, that guaranteeing, and the giving of the Spirit is that deposit that says, "This one is mine." It's like when you go out to buy a car and you leave a deposit there with a dealer or with a person, you say, I'm coming back for that. I'm coming back for that car. And the Holy Spirit is that deposit that says Jesus is coming back for us. Jesus has put that deposit on us. That is, it is finished. It is a guarantee that he is coming back to redeem us. He is coming back to call us back to where he is. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is also what is present in every born-again believer. It is what seals us. It seals us in Christ, and it bears witness with our spirit that we are also joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 read like this, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." I want you to think about that for a minute. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How do you know that you're a believer? How do you know that you are a believer in Christ? And this is one of the things that sometimes if people want to try come in and confuse believers, they'll say, "Well, how do you know?" And you say, "Well, I trust the work of Jesus on the cross. I trust that he has forgiven me of my sins. I trust that work. And in trusting that, I've also received that into my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that I am Christ because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. And the question might come back, well, prove it. How can you prove it? Give me some material proof that there's a transaction that's happened. Where's the signature? Where's the stamp? Romans chapter 8 tells us exactly how we get that stamp. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Spirit of God, the one who has created us, who knew us before the time of our birth, the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit. Philippians tells us that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. You want to know that you are a believer, you will have that peace that surpasses all understanding because of this transaction that you had with Jesus. This is that transaction that defines who we are. And the Spirit of God then testifies to our spirit, and it gives us a peace. And it's not a peace that we can explain. And so when we read this passage, we say, well, this is the Spirit testifying to our spirit. I don't know exactly how I can say this is a transaction. Here's my record. Here's the sheet where God signed it. We can't say that as believers, but what we can say is that we have a peace. And it's a peace that surpasses all understanding because we have trusted Jesus. And it's a spiritual thing. It's not something that we're going to see manifest materially, but it's a spiritual thing that we know that we are God's children because we have trusted Him. We see the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel, and we see the Holy Spirit being poured out to us and people receiving the Holy Spirit. And it's when we receive that Holy Spirit that God's Spirit then testifies to our spirit. Now, if we are children, then it continues on. Then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. What does that mean? It means that sometimes stuff happens in life that we are going to share in either persecution or things that are difficult in our life. But we have this to remember, that we are heirs with God. We are heirs with Christ. When we share in those sufferings, Christ also suffered. It reminds us of Christ's sufferings, but it also reminds us of the glory that awaits us. So when we go through life and stuff sort of happens, and we sort of ask those questions, God, why is this all happening? And we remember the sufferings of Christ and the promise that is given in Romans 8, that as God's Spirit testifies with us, He reminds us that we are also heirs with Him and co-heirs with Christ. So God calls us His children, and He calls us as His children. He adopts us in as His own, and because we are His own, we are also then going to receive that inheritance that a child of God is entitled to. Just as someone who adopts a child into their life and says, I choose to love this person, this child, and love them as my own, and give them my name, and take them in as my own, they will receive an inheritance from me. That is what God is saying here in Romans chapter 8. That is the truth that is being revealed about God. So Pentecost was a big deal as a harvest feast for the Jewish people. It was a time to come and give thanks for what God had done. But more so to the Christian, because of Pentecost, Pentecost is the evidence of God's Spirit being given. So instead of just a time where everybody comes together and just gives thanks, makes offering to God, Pentecost is a time as people, as Jewish people at that time and Gentiles, as they began to hear this message and receive the Holy Spirit into their own lives, it is an evidence of God's Spirit being given into the world to those who would receive Him. So let's bring this home a little bit. What is the significance of Pentecost for us today? Pentecost was the beginning of the power of the Spirit being released or being given to all. And even though this event happened a long time ago, it's important for us to know that what happened on that first Pentecost, happened at that first Pentecost also continues to happen to Christians all throughout our world today. God continues to pour out His Spirit on those who put their faith in Jesus. So Christians then are meant to live in that presence. Christians then are intended to live in that presence and the power of God's Holy Spirit. If God is giving us His Spirit, He wants us to live in that Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit helps us to confess that Jesus as Lord. He gives us that confidence in us, confidence to do that. We find that in 1 Corinthians. We also find that the Spirit empowers us to serve with a supernatural power, just like Peter wasn't the kind of guy. He was a fisherman. He wasn't the kind of guy to stand up and preach to 3,000 people, but he did. That was a supernatural power that was given. The Holy Spirit binds us together as a body of Christ. Again, we see that in 1 Corinthians 12, as the Lord binds us together and draws us together as one body. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We find that in Romans 8. Intercedes with us, for us, to God the Father. We see that again in Romans 8, 27. And the Spirit guides us, helping us to live like Jesus lived. We find those passages in Galatians. So the Holy Spirit is a vital part of who we are as believers, and we're meant to live and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost gives us the opportunity to consider how we are living each day. We can ask ourselves, are we relying on the power of the Spirit of God on a daily basis? Are we open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Are we even looking into our lives to see what God has already placed there and how we are able to use that to be a blessing to Him? We can ask ourselves, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Are the fruits of the Spirit growing in our lives? Are we maturing in our character, or are we staying stagnant? Are we staying the same, or are we growing as believers? That's what the Holy Spirit allows us to do. But the reality is that many Christians live in the presence and power of the Spirit, but only to a certain extent. Oftentimes we are limited by fear or sin or a tendency to be distracted from God's work that is going on within us. But Pentecost, this day of Pentecost, offers us a chance to re-look at that, to look at the giving of the Holy Spirit and to analyze our own lives and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? Pentecost offers us a chance to confess our failures before God, and guaranteed God's not going to be surprised by your failures. God already knows your failures. He knows where your shortcomings are, and He is like that the story of the prodigal son, where the father waits for his children just to return home, and he welcomes them. That's what God does with our failures. He goes, I know. But let's keep moving on. Let's take care of that. Let's address that. Let's not sweep it under the carpet. Let's address it. Sin is always out there to be addressed when it comes to God. Let's find forgiveness for that. Let's find a way forward. It is a time for us to confess our failure, to live by the Spirit, and to ask the Lord to fill us afresh with new power and a new presence. Well, secondly, Pentecost reminds us of the role of the church in the world. And you know, I don't think it was any accident that God chose this particular feast to demonstrate the giving of the Holy Spirit. And if you think about it, I think God was rather intentional in how He did this. Because it was at this point where people from all around the world at that time had come together, come to offer sacrifice. The males of each family coming to bring sacrifice in the temple, coming to Jerusalem. God was intentional in how the church began, because people are saved personally, but we are all called corporately. So here we have the gathering of all these Jewish folks, and they come together, and what do? They hear the Word of God. They hear the Word of God from Spirit-filled, believing people. And this underscores the role of the church in God's work in the world. As these people came together, as they gathered together, they became the church. There was ones that went and took the message back to their hometowns, back to their places, but the church grew. The church grew. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul observes that the church is God's temple and that the Spirit dwells in the midst of the church. And I had to do a double take when I read that, and I said, wait a minute, aren't I the temple? Because that's the scripture says that just a little bit earlier, that we are the temple of God. And as a temple of God, we are to take care of these temples. And we're the temple of God because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that's what they would go to temple for. That's what they would come to Jerusalem for, to have the offering being taken into the Holy of Holies. But instead, Paul is revealing here that we are the temple. We are the temple that holds the Holy Spirit. But yet in chapter 3, 16 and 17, he says something else. He adds to that. He says, "Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple is sacred. And you together are that temple." You together are that temple. Pentecost then is a vivid illustration of that spiritual truth that the community of God's people are central to God's work in the world. So he calls the church, the birth of the church happens right here, and he calls us as a church, as believers who have the Holy Spirit within us, as we gather together, we become his church. We become his church together. And God's intention was never for us to be lone rangers out there just doing our own thing, but rather we are built, we are designed to be in community. We are designed to come together as his temple, bringing together the Holy Spirit in each one of us, different gifts and abilities and talents to work together to see God's purposes worked out in our world. So Pentecost invites us to consider two important questions in our lives. Pentecost invites us to consider if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to fully work in our lives. It invites us to ask ourselves, are we distracted or are we in step with the Spirit of God living within us? And secondly, Pentecost invites us to consider our participation in the fellowship and the worship and the mission of the local church. How are we doing at the together part of being God's temple? Those are thoughts for us as we consider what Pentecost means. Yes, it's a revealing, a giving of the Holy Spirit for each one of us, that we would know and we would have that assurance of salvation. But as God gives his Spirit, as he pours that out into our lives, he also calls us together as the body of Christ to do his work in the world. My prayer today as we continue our day and celebrate the gleanings bunch that's going to be downstairs serving soup and a bun, I invite you to think about your role in the church. I invite you to think about what happens because we come together as a church, things that couldn't happen if we were just lone rangers, if we were out there all by ourselves, but the necessity and the value and the joy of being the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks today for your word. We thank you for Pentecost, which really points us to a harvest, but a harvest of souls that is done because of the giving of your Spirit. As you pour out to us and you stir within us that desire to serve and to go and to bring your word and to be a blessing in all these different places in our world and even right here at home, Father, we give you thanks that you stir within us by the power of your Spirit to do those things. Father, help us to walk in step with you. Father, if we are straying or we have walked away from you, Father, help us to turn our face back to you and receive your forgiveness, to receive your grace, and to put our feet back on the solid ground that comes through the work of Christ. Lord, thanks for Pentecost. Father, thanks for communion that helps us to remember the work that you did for us. And Lord, fill us. We invite you to fill us with the power of your Spirit. As we receive you, we pray these things in your name. Amen.
I invite you to stand with us as we sing our closing song together. After we sing this, Pastor James will close with a benediction and grace for the meal. And the gleanings team is headed out down to get ready. So once we are dismissed, just go straight down, be seated, and they'll serve you. If you have a hard time making the stairs, we will also serve people in the fireside room up here, okay? So please stay and join us for that if you can.